great.
But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
Then he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it?
Yes, of course.
We will.
You don't even have to think about it.
So let's rhyme it today. Rhyme it.
Yes.
We are going to rhyme it. Just.
Yeah, rhyme
that's
it.
Where he just
ran down. Everybody,
amazing. I'm not gonna remember any of it.
That's good. That's the way to go.
All over the Rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
How are you
guys? Whose house?
Wow.
Ram it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Rams Brothers. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother and the other great host of this show, Nick. And Nick, we're talking life after Aaron Donald. It's a difficult time in Rams world, but the Rams are pretty active in free agency so far. We're on March 20th, and they're still pretty active. But first and most importantly, how are you, my good brother?
Filling the Aaron Donald-sized hole in my heart with Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't seem accurate, but it's something that's happening right now. It is so weird. This is a very bizarre week, and I'm happy that we get to discuss it together and we can go through therapy together.
Yep, it's a little bit of therapy, right? Because the offense has been bolstered up. It's nice to bring in a backup quarterback under any capacity, whether it was Carson Wentz. At least it's not Brett Rippon. Jimmy Garoppolo was 8-0 against the Rams in the regular season until he got to the NFC Championship. So not a bad add. And Sean McVay was pretty vocal immediately as they brought on Jimmy G. He said he's a natural thrower of the football, which was a quote that I just got a kick out of and had to repost. And, you know, it's a good player to have on board. He's a little bit older, coming off of a two-game suspension. The details of his contract aren't out quite yet. But I think this free agent class of 2024 is really enticing, right? You got Darius Williams, Jimmy Garoppolo, Cam Curl, Colby Parkinson, and Jonah Jackson. And you could potentially be talking about Tre'Davious White coming into the building. He visited with the Rams yesterday. So life after Aaron Donald is a little bit difficult. But I feel like looking at the Rams' defense on paper gives us a better holistic look of what we could expect, right? Because your secondary, the back end safeties with Cam Curl, Cam the Ram is an incredible signing. Russ Yeast coming into his second year and maybe with John Johnson the third could potentially be re-signed for cheap. I actually think Russ Yeast is coming into his third year. And Jason Taylor is depth on the back end. And Quinton Lake, who would potentially be a quasi-dime linebacker safety role or occasionally in the star role in rotation with Cam Curl. Like you could see Cam Curl at the top of your screen in the strong safety role, but he could definitely rotate some snaps with Quinton Lake. So I feel like the back end is definitely shored up. I can imagine Aubrey Pleasant is very happy to be with this group thus far. There's lots of talent. You talked about Darius Williams and Dakobe Durant on the outside with Darion Kendrick and Trey Tomlinson as depth. And then we talked about potentially looking at Tre'Davious White. So I'd argue that the secondary is very, very much improved. I feel like it's the front seven where they're going to need more help, right? You look opposite of Ernest Jones. You look at some of the interior players. Obviously, edge is a massive, massive need. But, I mean, you could just kind of get a feel for life after Aaron Donald with this defense on paper. What we could expect for 2024, probably low investment for the most part in comparison to the offense. But you know, you have a little bit of star power. I feel like they've done a nice job in terms of free agency, bringing on some stars, some people that you could identify and can make a difference in these games. So it's a good,
Good starting point. Everything that they're doing, like the back end of the defense, the cornerbacks, the safeties, it's great. But when you subtract Aaron Donald from the situation, now everything, because you're just expecting, you know, top quality across the board in that field on the defensive front when he's playing. And now that he's not, everybody's going to have to step up and you're not going to be getting to the quarterback as fast as you would. I mean, maybe maybe Hassan Reddick comes in and you bring in some more edge help. But still, it's as happy as we can be with those safety signing, it's still bittersweet because it's like, because if we still had Aaron Donald, maybe, you know, they could really start making some noise. But now it's more of like, okay, these guys are going to really have to step up around them.
Yeah, it goes into like what you said a couple episodes ago, right? Because if you bolster up the defensive backs, you don't have to necessarily have a pass rush that wins on every single down. because you're able to extend coverage a couple of seconds because of the talent in the secondary. But like, you still need edge help. And to not have that kind of interior pressure that Aaron Donald's able to draw double, triple, quadruple teams, and to be so overly reliant on a player like Kobe Turner or DeJuan Johnson or Bobby Brown, like, it's a lot to expect from a really, really young front. And, you know, there's definitely going to be some things that are different. I feel like a lot of the sub packages that they deploy in some of their match zone schemes, like, that's going to be great because you have a ton of versatility with your defensive backs. Like, I really think Aubrey Pleasant is going to eventually go ahead and maybe get a head coaching job or a defense coordinator job because of how talented this secondary is already without even adding Trey White. But you look at the salary cap in total, like, this is why it's been lopsided. It's the way that they invest in the offense. You look at the free agency class of 2024, three of those five faces are on offense, and they're the big-time players in terms of the money. Darius Williams was a fairly cheap deal, but you know, you kind of look at some of these players and you think to yourself, yeah, it's lopsided, but you still appreciate some of the talent that's coming into the building. Like Cam Curl, they officially announced the signing of Cam Curl a couple of days ago. Like, he's intriguing because they don't refer to him necessarily as a safety. And we talked about this with Quinn Lake. Like, in their announcement, they refer to him more broadly as a defensive back. So you could show the versatility between safety roles, a little bit of dime linebacker, which is how the Rams refer to it. But I feel like Cam the Ram can outright own that star position. And Quinton Lake has the versatility to be able to move around enough. So the secondary is definitely bolstered up. And I think between Quinton Lake and Cam Curl, you saw Quinton Lake, how they wanted to put him on the face of this mixtape. So, I mean, you have to imagine that they're going to put more pressure and more responsibility on those two players, and rightfully so, because they're both very talented.
Yeah. Cam the Ram, but they don't want to list him essentially as the star position, or I mean, as the, you know, safety position.
Safety. Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of Marcus Peters. Remember when Wes Phillips was like, you know, it's like when you're playing poker, he's the house. And I always stuck with me. I was like, oh, he's like the whole, you know, he's like, not is he gambling, but he is like, you know, everybody is gambling around him. I thought that was like a really interesting.
It's funny to see like how it's evolved too, because right, like if Marcus Peters is the house, who knows what Aqib Talib was in that metaphor. But now, like, you're talking about the evolution of the star role in 2020 with Jalen Ramsey and Brandon Staley coming into the building, and just the way that they move towards the Vic Fangio scheme. Like, there's a lot of different sub packages that they could deploy in these zone schemes and have these defensive backs consistently rotate. Like, if you bring in a Trey White, like, he's a player that I think a lot of people know him as a former All Pro, but like, came in at LSU as a receiver, saw Odell and Jarvis Landry and said, I should maybe switch to a defensive back. And he became an All Pro there in 2019. That's what he did in college. That's what he did coming into the league. First team All-Pro in 2019, led the league in interceptions that year, but that was 5 years ago. So I would like to see him come in as a rotational player opposite of Darius Williams in rotation with Dakobe Durant, because in 2021, he tears his ACL, fell into a massive, massive depression over that period. He comes back on Thanksgiving in 2022, exactly 1 year after the injury, and played a limited role for the Bills throughout the remainder of the season and into the postseason. And then 2023, he plays three games, and then week four, he ruptures his Achilles on a non-contact injury against the Dolphins. And then the Bills went ahead and cut him. So that would be a player that you'd have to bring in on a limited capacity, on a shorter deal, that could play in rotation with the Dakobe Durant, who's a player that we still very much like. You know, even if you had a three-headed attack on the outside opposite of Darius Williams with Dakobe Durant, Darion Kendrick, and a Trey White, I'm telling you, the depth in the secondary is really improved. And it's, you know, Aaron Donald, there's a massive hole in our hearts, but you feel that there's some improvement, at least on the back end, in an area where they previously haven't invested.
Yeah, the secondary is coming together 100%. Trey White just was looking at New Jersey for the Giants, and then Nashville, Tennessee for the Titans. I mean, it seems like an obvious choice to me. I mean, I don't know how much money he's getting offered at those other places, but still.
It's an amazing point because, like, you talk about Sean McVay. Who are the other coaches? Brian Daboll
Vrabel, who is apparently like a really good head coach, and then I don't even know who's coaching the Titans right now.
Well, that's what that. Yeah, there's no Mike Vrabel there anymore. He's a special consultant for the Cleveland Browns now. But like you talk about, in comparison to Brian Daboll and a no-name head coach in Tennessee, Diana Rossini from The Athletic came out yesterday and said there have been a few free agents and NFL agents over the last few days who have shared how the best recruiter over the phone is easily Sean McVay. Whatever he says, he leaves a strong impression. I entirely believe that. I think he's one of the best recruiters in the entire NFL. The way he's able to sell over the phone, because it's not like a head coach that's calling you up and is saying, hey, we could use you in, you know, in these packages, on these downs, in these situations. Sean McVay's like, no, this is your game plan. This is the route tree that you're going to run. This is the pressure packages that you're going to run off of the edge. This is the plan we have you to play next to Aaron Donald as Von Miller. This is the plan we have to play next to Cooper Kupp as Odell Beckham Jr. Like, there's all of these things that are entirely thought out before he even jumps on the phone, which to me means that he's not only the best recruiter, but it leaves any free agent, even with the exclusion of Aaron Donald on the roster, the best opportunity to come into the building, even if it's on a cheap deal.
Jimmy G said it. He said, as soon as I got on the phone with Sean McVay, it goes back to 2015, 2016, when he was interviewed for the head coaching job and he was young, and he walks out and everybody in the building was like, if we don't give this guy a head coaching job, he's going to get one somewhere else immediately. We like have to give him one. I mean, he's persuasive. And if he was a Dungeons and Dragons character, his class would be Bar. You know,
I have no idea what that means.
Someone does. Someone listens.
So it's got to be. But I would imagine it's top tier.
Yeah, it means he just has a lot of charisma.
Yeah, I mean, he does. He is. I think he's one of the best recruiters in the league. I think he's one of the most passionate head coaches in the league. And I think because of what he's able to sell and instill, and the foundations he's able to build, and the culture, it leads to Sean McVay being such a great head coach also. I probably didn't articulate the way that he sells over the phone as well as I possibly could have, because I'm not Sean McVay. But like you could get a feel for when he comes on the podium, when the players are able to kind of openly speak about their relationships with Sean McVay and other coaches they've worked with in the past. It's night and day. And Jimmy G talking about the opportunity to like become a Baker Mayfield or to become whomever else it was that the Rams have raised in their building to go on and get another opportunity. Like, that's a really important thing. So he wants that opportunity, and he's going to get it here potentially.
He has the Gruden mind without any of the negativity that comes with Gruden. Even though Gruden had a little bit of that, like, ooh, like, this guy's really smart. I kind of want to, like, follow him and listen to what he's saying. And he's also, like, you know, he has, like, that, like, quirky sense of humor. So it's, he's very easy.
It definitely is, right? And I think how things are transpiring, right? If you can, I haven't seen anything linked to this yet. And it's kind of unfortunate because, you know, you're looking out for these things, connections between Philadelphia and Los Angeles. I wouldn't say few and far in between, but like if there's an opportunity to pounce on Hassan Reddick, I think it's going to be soon, because Jeremy Fowler came out yesterday and said the Eagles are moving Hassan Reddick's $1 million roster bonus, which was originally due on March 15th, to April 1st, per sources. So this, in theory, buys Philly time to potentially trade before having to pay the money to Hassan Reddick. So I would imagine that Hassan Reddick is traded in the next week, if he is traded. And I think that the Rams have to hop on that opportunity, because it feels like from a front seven perspective, you definitely still need help from an edge rusher, and you can't depend on it in the draft unless you're so positive in a Jared Verse or a Chop Robinson or a Latu from UCLA. So,
I mean, he's somebody that we have circled and have talked about on the show during this offseason, just because we've seen what he can bring to a defense. I mean, I don't know how big the deal would be. I'd imagine it would be no more than 2 years, but still, to bring him in would be, I mean, I would absolutely love it.
The contract situation is kind of a mess, right? But like, I feel like in the last 4 days or so that they did something with Josh Sweat. I think they agreed that Josh Sweat was going to return to the Eagles in 2024. And I feel like recently they signed Bryce Huff, and they have Nolan Smith from Georgia, a former first round pick who they're expecting to improve. Like, it kind of, the writing is kind of on the wall with Hassan Reddick. It might not be a trade to the Rams, but like, I feel like the terms of needs, in terms of like draft capital, it makes total sense. The contract might not make a ton of sense because of their salary cap situation right now. But there are many other free agent edges that are out there right now. Carl Lawson, Yannick Ngakoue, Derek Barnett, who I, you know, played pretty well for the Texans in the final couple weeks of the season leading up to the postseason and into the postseason after the Eagles cut him. Not a player that I would mind bringing onto our roster whatsoever. And then there's Tyrus Bowser. But like, these are like shaky edge options, and they're not full-time players, I wouldn't think, at this point in their career. So, I mean, you talked about who we could potentially bring in via the draft, and we'll talk about that some more, but Hassan Reddick would be the player that I'd want to focus on because you have the draft capital and because all you'd have to do is probably redo one deal to be able to create some more salary cap. Because right now, $20 million is showing on the salary cap, and I think that's with the exclusion of Jimmy G, and there's one other contract that hasn't been added quite yet. So I think it's Cam Curl.
Yeah. Cam Curl kind of got a little thrown into the back burner in terms of discussion because of the Aaron Donald deal. And yeah, while I very much will deal Aaron Donald retirement, while I very much will be championing for Hassan Reddick, I think it's the best option. Personally, if they get Tyrus Bowser, that's an immediate jersey purchase for me. To have the last name Bowser on a Rams jersey, so cool.
That there's a possibility that he can come in as a rotational player, but Hassan Reddick is the game changer type player. Yeah, like Tyrus Bowser wouldn't, I don't think, would move the needle for any Rams fans, unfortunately.
Except me.
Except for you.
Except me and maybe my buddy David Kenyon.
And Mario and Luigi. So after Aaron Donald's retirement, you look at the salary cap. Darius Williams is right now the highest paid defensive player on the roster. His cap hit is only $4.6 million. So I talked about they're showing $20 million in salary cap prior to Jimmy G and Cam Curl's deals hitting the book. And Jimmy G signed a one-year deal, which was inked yesterday. So the term should be out at some point today. And then Cam Curl signed a two-year deal worth up to $13 million. So I'd expect his salary cap hit to be similar to what Darius Williams's was. So you could expect the Rams to have roughly $14 million as it stands right now. And then the incoming draft class with 11 draft picks estimated like $7 to $10 million. And they like to carry some cap around during the season. So like to bring in Trey White had to be a one-year deal. And then to bring in Hassan Reddick would likely have to move some things around in terms of restructures to fit him within the salary cap. But it helps. I think it fills maybe 65-70% of the Aaron Donald sized hole if you're able to have a competent defense that doesn't allow 40 points a game.
Yeah. It makes you want to spend the rest of the money on defense outside of, the rookie class coming in that you're going to have to pay. But still, outside of that, it's like, all right. And it's, to their credit, outside of Jimmy G and the front seven, it's kind of what they've been doing. So,
yeah. You want to see them kind of continuously invest in defense because the way that the offense is currently structured right now, Matthew Stafford has all the protection he wants. You have talent at receiver. You have talent at all three receiver positions, really. And you have depth at X with Tutu Atwell and DeMarcus Robinson. You could potentially look at the – go ahead, what were you going to say?
I think they'll absolutely draft a running back at some point.
Yeah, they probably will. They'll probably draft a running back. They'll probably draft a receiver. Don't be surprised if they look at a tight end at some point. Might draft an offensive tackle. You have 11 draft picks, so you have a lot of flexibility. But I would like for the talent – if they're going to bring in additional talent on any side of the ball, I would want it to be defense early and often. And if you bring in a Trey White, you don't necessarily have to look at anybody in the secondary. You could just focus your attention all on the front seven.
Yeah, and kicker.
And kicker. You find best player available consistently at the top with defense, and then maybe a Cam Little type kicker, Chicken Little, falls to you at the bottom. I still wanted to sign Greg the Leg. I know he signed a two-year deal with the Jets, but I really wanted to bring him back because that, at least you know what you're getting.
It's just so funny how they love to bring people back and Greg the Leg becomes available and they were the worst kicking team last year and they're like, nope.
Yeah, Greg the Leg's getting a little bit older.
He's a kicker. Mason Crosby, we had Mason Crosby on a practice squad. I think he's like 57.
Yeah, it was the kicker Moody that the Niners drafted in the third round this past year. I mean, that's like you got.
He missed the kick in the Super Bowl. I mean, he made it. He made a long one, but he also missed.
I think he broke the record for distance made on a kick or multiple 50 yarders made in the Super Bowl, something like that.
He broke the record, and then it was immediately broken by the Kansas City kicker, like the next drive.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I mean, I just want to bring in some special teams talent. And you looked at the salary cap, $2 million invested in special teams. It's weird how that money kind of gets divvied up because there's a lot of players that aren't specifically defined as special teams players. Like Benny Sko's a receiver, but is probably the most expensive special teams player on the roster.
Captain Benny Sko. How much money Benny's not captain next year?
That'd be a good bet. I think no would be the favorite. But you don't – I mean – continuity and special teams, he might still be a captain again. So
yeah, I guess Jimmy G, captain of the Rams.
Captain of the Rams. Rams fans, stay with us. I know this Aaron Donald news is really, really difficult, but got a lot more fun stuff coming at you in relation to the draft. Pro days, UCLA's pro or USC's pro day, I think is today with Caleb Williams. Ohio State's is coming up. So a lot of the big time programs, all that fun stuff is going to be popping up in the next couple of days. But make sure, if you guys are enjoying the podcast, that you
ram it.
Like and subscribe. Wish I remembered to do that in the beginning of every episode, but we greatly appreciate it, and we need you guys, too, to keep this channel running. So cheers and go Rams.
We're desperate. We need every like and subscribe that you have. Dean, I want to ask you a quick question before you get out of here. So the Rams Super Bowl odds jumped from – or they plummeted after Aaron Donald was gone and had retired. They were in like the top seven, and now they're like completely middle of the pack with like the Jags and other teams like the Jags. Do you think that's fair? I forget what the other teams were.
Yeah, the Browns I think are in that range. Wow. You know, like the Vikings, you know, like other teams that like don't really necessarily have a shot. I mean that's the reality of losing the best player on the planet. You cannot replace Aaron Donald in any capacity. Like what I tweeted out the other day, when you watch the highlights, he's the greatest closer of all time. 103 mile per hour fastball with Mariano Rivera's cutter. Like has every move in the bag. He has speed, has leverage, has technique. He was a perfect player. And I like you watch him consistently over 10 years, every single snap, and you don't get enough because he's just greatness. It's Michael Jordan.
Or LeBron James.
For the odds to drop significantly, you know, whatever greatness top player of their generation you want to put the metaphor under, but like, yeah, you lose that type of player and you drop in Super Bowl odds. Those kind of players, the faces of your franchise, are part of the reason why you're able to build and go back to a Super Bowl. But like when I was reading his contract details and I was looking at over the cap and the clauses and everything, if they're, you know, 11, 12 wins and they go back to the playoffs again and they're in the divisional round against Green Bay or San Francisco, I don't see any opportunity where – because Aaron Donald's going to keep himself in great shape. He loves to look good. He loves to stay in shape. He's going to be playing with his kids, so he'll be extremely active all throughout the season. I want to leave the door open for a potential Aaron Donald return.
And that's why you have Mr. Bard, Mr. Persuasion, Sean McVay. Just get him on the phone and you say, Aaron, do I even have to say anything?
You keep him in the building. You keep him as a consultant. You give him everything he wants, give him the special treatment and keep him in shape and hope that he can return if he wants to. But he's full, as he said.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like the Bengals had an opportunity to do that with Whitworth when they were back in the playoffs immediately after the 2021 season. And he was just like, nobody called, you know? And it was like, how did they not call him? Like, he's saying that he's ready to go.
Yeah. I don't think that would have tampered his legend and his legacy at all. Like, if he wanted to go back and go with the Bengals, he could try winning another Super Bowl. Great for a big win. Love him. But those are two legends that, you know, you can't watch anymore.
Historic story for him. Walter Payton, Man of the Year, plays his former team in the Super Bowl and then helps Aaron Donald win his Super Bowl ring. Like
those two, yeah, the memory that I'll always – I know it's Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford were the ones that were, you know, receiving the awards and the trophies and everything. But like the embrace between Andrew Whitworth and Aaron Donald after they won the Super Bowl was everything to me as a fan.
I dreamed this. It's surreal.
I love it. Rams fans, if you guys are enjoying, stick around. We got more coming your way. We love you guys. Thanks so much. And go Rams.
Jimmy G is a Ram. Go Rams.
Peace.